Welcome back to the Mike Moore Show on this nice Saturday morning here in South Dakota. If you're not doing anything tonight, girls volleyball tonight, 7 p.m. against the Aberdeen Golden Eagles. Yes. Yeah, so the Huron girls volleyball team is doing pretty well. So come out and support them. And they actually have an event coming up that in October that's, I think it's a breast cancer.
Yeah, event. They did that last year too.
And we'll
good turnout.
We won't be able to talk about that because we don't have another show till the end of October. I just wanted to mention that. But October is a month to remember a lot of things. Breast cancer is one of them. We were talking about domestic violence, and that October is domestic violence awareness month. So there's a lot of things going on in the community. Good things that bring awareness to this terrible situation that people find themselves in. Nicole was just talking about what makes her skin crawl, and I agree that there is a sentiment out there that when a person reports that they're not believed, and for us to and people might think, well, that's not a big deal, but it is, because it affects people reporting.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're not going to be believed, why come forward?
Right.
And then the other thing is, you know, what's going to happen if you do come forward?
Yep.
I mean, what's, you know, is the problem going to be fixed? Are you going to leave this situation? I mean, is anybody going to care? Is it going to make my life easier? Am I going to be safer? I mean, because we know that a lot of times if you report, you leave, you're actually in more danger than if you would have just stayed.
Oh, absolutely. Haley was telling in her story too, you'll see this, that when she finally did decide to report it to the police, her boyfriend at the time was suicidal. And when she made the police report, it was a woman officer that came to her apartment and said, okay, tell me about the incident, whatever. And she explained it. And the officer said, this was days ago. And Haley said, well, yeah. And she goes, well, why are you just reporting it now? And she said that one simple question made her feel so dirty and like she had done something wrong. And she's like, well, I don't know. I don't call the cops on people every day. I mean, how many reasons would you like? I'm worried about his sanity, his mental health, his safety, that he doesn't kill himself, that he doesn't come after me. There's a lot of reasons that people don't say something right away.
Right.
And safety, like you said, is the biggest one.
And that's the thing, is I think from a system, I'm obviously in the system as a prosecutor. I go around the state and train widely on domestic violence. I've probably been to every community in this state, talking to local law enforcement advocates, mental health professionals, medical professionals about domestic violence and the ins and outs. And I go around with a law enforcement officer and an advocate, and we do that through the South Dakota Network. But, you know, it's just, you know, that's what they think. I mean, if you talk to law enforcement, and they really have their heart in the right place, but the misconception about that is, this person calls law enforcement, and law enforcement comes out and thinks, well, you know, problem solved. I'm here.
Right.
This is going to end,
mm-hmm.
and this person, it's not going to affect his victim's life. I'm going to arrest the bad guy
for a day.
Put the bad guy in jail. Problem solved. Right. Every issue has been resolved. And that is so far from the truth.
It is.
That these victims go through a lot more than that. But, you know, it's kind of, and it's interesting from talking to law enforcement, because they view that same thing if you take arrest a person for drinking and driving, you take them out of the car that night, you take them to jail, they're no longer a danger, you got them off the street, you provided safety. But that doesn't mean that person's not going to do it again. It doesn't mean that person's not going to drink again.
And even bigger than that, when it comes to domestic violence in a perpetrator or abuser in general, you have to understand that the basis behind this person, what makes them tick, is manipulation and power.
Right.
So if you are taking that power away from them by, you know, calling an authority or getting a protection order or letting somebody know what happened to you, that is what is going to have the repercussions. That is when victims feel like, you know, they could be blackmailed, their kids could be taken away from them, their house could be burned down, you know, their family members and friends will start getting phone calls, and pretty soon the victim is made out to be the bad guy, and it happens every single time.
Right. I agree, and that's kind of the concept that you go in, or that they kind of, we have to understand that part of it, that just because we went out, we made the arrest, doesn't mean that problem's over for that victim.
And, no.
And that's why we have a victim assistant at my office. That's why you guys are advocates, because
yes.
You try to provide some help to that person, that
and
victim,
a safe place.
And a safe place.
A safe place so that when that person is released from jail, they're not going to find you. You can come to us and we're going to put you somewhere where he will never find you. And that's something that, you know, people always think, oh, you have a shelter. Oh, you put people up. Why do you do that? They don't have a house. It's not about housing. It's not about... It is about getting back on your feet, but the biggest thing is it's an intermittent place where you can be safe and get some sleep and be able to function and think about what your next step is, because you don't have to worry about someone beating on your door.
Right. You're exactly right. And I think it's just such a good service that we don't really think about this issue. You know, from a law enforcement standpoint, we think about, you know, arrest, convictions, jail time, things like that. Well, that's really not doing much to really provide services to what that victim needs. That victim wants food. They want shelter. They want safety. They want, you know, to have some kind of understanding of what's going to happen. They
peace
want
of mind.
Peace of mind. Right. And what we're doing in the system by prosecuting this individual isn't necessarily doing anything to help the victim. And that's why we try to provide those other services.
Yes, they should go hand in hand. I love that your office focuses on that.
Yeah. And we try, and not everybody's accepting of that help.
Right.
But I understand that too. I mean,
they won't be the first time.
Right. And I'm not holding any grudges.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're not. So if they aren't acceptive, if they're mad at me, I mean, I get that.
The normal victim leaves 7 times.
Right.
You have to be patient and know that that person might go back 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times before they finally leave for good. It's a process. It's part of the journey.
Yes. And that's what we need to get that message out there. The person leaves 7 times before leaving for good. That's statistically average. They're abused 70 to 80 times before they even call the police the first time.
I mean, and then when they do call the police after the whatever number then they're questioned.
Right.
But yet here we're trying to release the stigma and say, you know, me too. I've been through this too, and it's okay. And just because I'm a victim doesn't mean that I'm victimized by this, you know, that I can move on and that I can continue to do good and be a productive member of society. And yet there's like this backlash, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It's a really, really hard topic.
Yes. And I've struggled with that my whole career on what the right thing is to do. Kind of my thing that I'm kind of struggling with now is that we know that in a lot of those situations where a person's arrested, we're prosecuting them. The victim isn't real supportive of the prosecution. They want this thing to move on. They got what they wanted. They got that peace of mind for that night. They got the safety for that night, but now they got to live in the real world. In the real world, they need this individual because of the situation they're in, either housing or income or whatever, kids. So they want to be back with this person. And my job is to prosecute people that break the law. And I try to do that the best I can, and keeping, you know, try to be sensitive to the victim's needs. But, you know, the thing that I just kind of thought about recently is that, you know, what happens to these individuals when we convict them, knowing that they're going back to that house? And in a lot of the situations, they have limited resources. And, you know, it bugged me that some of these, the defendant is fined. You know, that is a common thing to have. We're not sending them to jail anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They used to get, you know, when I first started, they used to get 5 days. It went down to 3. There was a period of time where they were getting 1 day in jail. Now, last 5 years, they're not getting any jail, which, you know, that's outside of my job description.
Well, 1 day, I mean, that's just enough to tick them off.
Right.
What's the point of that?
But they are getting fined, and it just concerns me that if we're finding this individual and they're in a household with a victim,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's paying that fine?
Right.
Who's that fine really hurting? Is it hurting the defendant?
They need to take that fine and make them do some counseling, because it is not about the fine. It's about breaking the cycle. It's a cycle, and it's a generational cycle. And a lot of these households have children in them, and that's who is seeing this stuff happen. And that's who's learning how to deal with their emotions, that you deal with your emotions through anger and through manipulation. And that's how the cycle continues. That's what we need to break.
Right.
Maybe take those fines and send them to some counseling. Okay.
We'll take those fines and do something with them. But you're right. But that's a frustrating part of me is that, what are we really? I mean, we should be doing better, like what you just talked about.
Yeah.
We should try to address, if we're not going to throw individuals in jail, why are we fining them instead when we, you know, let's provide some treatment or counseling or something like that
agreed.
That might make an impact on this individual, because
yes.
that fine is just being paid by the couple.
And really jail time too. I mean, jail time is pretty much pointless for a simple assault or domestic violence.
Right. And yeah, perpetrator. Right. And you don't do it, you know, consistently. I mean, it's just a changing world we're living in, but I think that we're getting away from putting people in jail, but we haven't really replaced that with anything of substance yet. And that's something that we got to work on as a system. But we are at our 10 minutes, so we're going to take our final break.
All right.
We'll be back to finish up this edition of the Mike Moore Show, September 2018. You're listening to the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.